Since 1991, a group called SOS, for Save Outdoor Sculpture, has encouraged organizations and volunteers around the country to inspect about 27,000 works. They discovered that nearly half of them were in pretty bad shape and started raising money for conservation work. NPR's Susan Stamberg met some of these saviors of outdoor sculpture when they gathered in Washington recently and learned of one town that was saved by the sculpture itself.
Rock Hill, South Carolina, just down the road from Charlotte, was a thriving town of some 45,000 souls. But in the 1980s, disaster struck.
We had 13 textile mills in Rock Hill, and they all closed but one.
Unemployment jumped to over 17%. Betty Jo Ray, mayor of Rock Hill for 11 years, says citizens got together and counted their assets, the things that made Rock Hill special. Then they decided to make those assets visible. They took an unusual step.
At that particular time, Charlotte was tearing down all the old historic buildings. And one of the buildings they were tearing down was this old Masonic temple that had these 80-foot columns.
The town got the columns and put them at an intersection where they created a business park. Artist Audrey Flack was commissioned to produce four heroic sculptures to stand near the columns.
And each one of the sculptures had a different identity of the way we looked at ourselves. One sculpture had the flame for the flame of knowledge for an educational city. One had stars for the cultural city. One had gears for a business city. And one had the water and the lightning for a functional city.
If you sculpt it, will they come? Well, they did. Attracted by the artwork, plus some tax benefits and the easy access to Charlotte, interstate highways, and the airport, international companies opened big plants in Rock Hill to manufacture medical materials, test wools, produce machinery.
It created over 3,700 new jobs in our city.
Rock Hill, South Carolina, saved by sculpture. In this case, 13-foot goddesses adorned with ribbons and billowing robes. A far cry from the usual outdoor sculptures. Generals on horses, mostly.
Often they are, yes.
With pigeons who've rested for a while on top of them somewhere.
Yeah, but you know, actually, usually the rain takes care of a lot of those.
Jonathan Taggart is a sculpture conservator from Astoria, Oregon. He says the rain is good for washing off pigeon contributions, but acid rain is good for nothing. That combination of water and pollutants from car exhausts and industry can eat away at the bronze or marble or limestone of outdoor art. The solution, cleaning the sculpture with pressurized water or air. Sometimes for bronzes, blasting them with crushed walnut shells, less abrasive than sand. Then the pieces are treated with wax, just like your car. Philadelphia probably has the most outdoor sculptures in the nation, more than 800 by some counts.
Every single type of sculpture, heroic sculpture, animal sculpture, sculpture in memory of George Washington, Joan of Arc, Abraham Lincoln, on and on, to the first pilgrim, to the first Icelander who came to Philadelphia.
And, of course, Benjamin Franklin. Penny Balkenbach is executive director of Philadelphia's Fairmount Park Art Association. She says her city has so many outdoor sculptures because it's so old and so enlightened. Since colonial days, it's been a tradition in Philadelphia for private citizens to commission outdoor sculpture. So the works become a visible history of the city.
There is a story, I guarantee you, behind every single one of these sculptures. They may be bronze or marble at the moment, but behind them is a very long story that reflects something about who we are as a society. Part of the point of preserving and protecting them is keeping those histories and keeping those stories alive.
It's not just another general on a horse.
Every general had an army.
Washington, D.C. is home to hundreds of pieces of public sculpture. Generals, sure, and justices and presidents. On my way to work last winter, driving in the early morning along Massachusetts Avenue, clouds of white steam plumed up from a 17-foot-high dark bronze sculpture I've been whizzing past for years. The cleaner's mist dramatized the stirring tribute to Samuel Gompers, the great union activist who headed the American Federation of Labor. He's seated, stern and suited, in the center, surrounded by various allegorical figures symbolizing education, justice, unity. The work was created by Robert Aitken in 1933. The Roosevelts were there for the dedication. The cleaning, the labor of saving that piece of outdoor sculpture made me see it for the first time. Philadelphia's Penny Balkin Buck.
Part of the problem is that in this rush and the way of life we've acquired for ourselves in contemporary culture, we don't stop and look at things. We don't look at details. We need to encourage people to do that, to look at the details and to begin to think about what these things once meant to other people.
In Washington, I'm Susan Stamberg.